So let's just jump right back into it. I took a second of a water break. But like I was saying, acrylates, I might not be saying that 100% correct, but who cares? Because most people don't even know what the heck this stuff is. And the fact that I'm not even able to say it correctly kind of illustrates how in disguise these ingredients are. I mean, obviously, in a makeup product, you're not gonna see microplastic as the ingredient name. It's too broad of a molecular structure, I guess it would be, to be labeled as such. And I think that's why you don't know that these things are occurring either, because most people don't understand or have an intense application of chemistry into their daily lives. Like, I took biology, I took a few hard science classes in my undergrad, and it made me really interested in makeup and skincare, even more so than I already was, just from like a chemistry point of view, like I said. But when you're looking at the ingredients, okay, maybe when you first start to get into skincare, you're like, I know the chemical compound name of vitamin C, you know what I mean? Or retinol, which is vitamin A. Like you start to pick up on those active ingredients, but you, who is telling you what microplastic is labeled as? If you even know that that's formulated within the actual product itself, not just the packaging in which can shed microplastics. And that's why I mentioned that thing about the glass jars and stuff. It's like things like water bottles release nano microplastics, nanoparticles, parts per million of plastic into liquid. And plastic packaging is essentially doing the same thing. So, like I was saying, in Sephora, they have this no fly list essentially. But, like I said, there's a difference between restricted versus prohibited. And so, acrylates is one of the things that is restricted. Some of them, the ones that are prohibited, are ethyl acrylates or ethyl methacrylate. So those are just two examples in which like the form of the word can take place. And that's, again, like I said, how it gets even more confusing, because when you just think, okay, now I just have to look out for acrylates, it's like, girl, you have to look out for what that is in 5,000 different names. And basically, it because these companies are making their own blends of things, then it also changes names as well. But the other acrylates that are restricted is something called methacrylate. You see how that's just like essentially all kind of sounding like the same. So you really have to read these ingredient lists to be able to detect what is what. And the average person, it does not have a list of 100 types of microplastics memorized in their head. So it just becomes increasingly difficult. Yeah, it's just frustrating to even try and like start to be interested in this stuff. I feel like a good analogy for this is like the clothing industry, you know? You know how some people, they're like, okay, why am I a six in these jeans from this brand, but not a six in jeans from this brand? Well, it's because the company itself can determine what the size chart is. There's not like a, I mean, there's like a typical conversion chart, but it's up to the brand to decide what that is. It's kind of the same when it comes to these formulations. Like, once they start to turn into blends, that's where the things become more personalized and it becomes harder to distinguish one from another. So the ones that are restricted is methyl methacrylate. As long as it is under a certain threshold in parts per million, labeled as PPM, that's what that means. And it's important to register that kind of label because we are talking about microplastic. It is that small. It is that small that it could be measured in a millionth, that it is measured by parts per million. This stuff is so nano that it is coming up in our blood. Like, it is in all our blood. It is in our body. It is in our, reproductive organs. It is in our brain. That's why that type of classification is necessary because it sheds that small. And that's why these microplastics in makeup are so important to talk about because they end up in our blood. Because when they are that microscopic, they are absorbed in our skin, just as the rest of the makeup ingredients, the skincare ingredients are. They are absorbed into our bodies. So it's not necessarily shedding because it's already that small. It's actually in the makeup formulation itself, like I said, to create that type of film, but also to create maybe, let's say, like waterproofing or to separate maybe like the ink from your eye so that it kind of like lifts off. Not in a way in which it comes off, but that it's like it feels separated, So I want to go back to carbon black. This is kind of like an example of something I want to talk about with the European Union, and why just because it's like allowed by a major standard doesn't mean it's still not harmful. So carbon black is a restricted, regulated material. So they are allowed at in clean beauty as long as it follows the European Union regulation guidelines as a standard. And this is an example, a slight example of greenwashing and trend demands. So typically with greenwashing, you would think, oh, a company or like a monopoly brand. But no, it's our government. So the European Union is deciding a lot of the ingredients in which makeup and skincare involve, and whether or not they're allowed or not, often have to do with like the FDA, which rarely updates their sunscreen filters, for example. And I will go into sunscreen in another part of this because that also has to do with microplastics. But they're following these larger standards, but the standards that are set are not even doing anything because they're also then in demand to trends. Like, for example, Beat the Microbead was it was and is a movement in which removed microplastic as a form of hard plastic from makeup products. And with enough traction that they were actually able to achieve this. So what I mean by like actual plastic that you could see were things like beads that in face wash, for example, like the clean and clear stuff, how it has that kind of like textural bead in the actual product. So that's an example of a harder microplastic that they were trying to ban from makeup and skincare. And like I said, with enough traction, they were successful. And so then the European Union decided that that all brands needed to follow this new update and regulation. So with demand of the consumer, yes, they conform to trends. But I think this is a powerful example as to how a social movement, Beat the Microbead, was able to utilize their love and care for the makeup, for makeup and skincare, in tandem with social activism and social movements to change a national, international standard. Although they are fitting into trends, they're also maybe I guess then social movements are a trend. Not to diminish anything, but it's just a something to think about, some food for thought. But now currently, which I was really happy to see, Because they were able to win the fight for harder types of plastic in makeup and skincare, the next thing that they are on is liquid forms of microplastics. And you don't, the average person, like I said, is not thinking that plastic can be liquid, and that liquid is in what I'm putting on my mouth. Like, yes, okay, I'm getting a $5 lipstick from CVS. I probably don't think it's like the most sustainably sourced thing in the world, of course. But even within that, I'm not thinking I'm putting liquid plastic on my face. You think, like I was saying earlier, okay, maybe it's not sustainably derived from this type of oil or something like that. No, it is microplastic. So, yeah, that's the example with carbon black. That was something that was kind of changed. I don't know how long ago that was, maybe 5, 10 years ago. And the microbead thing was pretty recent within the past 5 years. But I feel like this movement really gives hope to how we can really, really, really change the beauty industry. And I really hope that with this movement, we'd be able to update the Clean Sephora guidelines. That is my biggest desire, is to see these guidelines being changed. Yes, that means they're caving into consumer pressure, but they're also caving into social movement pressure, which they should be. Yes, my gosh, this is very overwhelming. You know, I have to say, like, it's difficult. And with all of this information, I'm really trying not to fear monger, because again, that type of psychological positioning makes it so that it is the consumer who is responsible for all the decisions that they're making. Fear mongering, I feel like, affects the individual and groups, but it is the industry that is suffocating us with this stuff. And it's something interesting I want to say is, like, maybe I already talked about this, but the labeling of cruelty free, it's like, yes, it's great for a brand to not test on animals, but if that same brand that is describing themselves as eco-friendly by doing so, by being eco-friendly because they're not including this one type of liquid microplastic or hard plastic, they are able to formulate with liquid microplastic. So I, yes, you're not testing on animals, but at the same time, you're poisoning the whole earth and 8 billion people. So I don't really, it's just ironic to me, because yes, you're not testing on animals, but in turn, you get to poison everyone with microplastic. It's just ironic, to say the least. And it just shows how, what is the word? Just like malicious, I feel like, and really, like, it's just invisible. It's totally invisible because it's so small. Yeah, so I want to talk about then a brand that I mentioned earlier, Mauve Beauty, that is one pioneering makeup company in the beauty industry that is saying no to liquid microplastics. And I really admire this, and it just has made me really think everything that is in my makeup collection and what and who I'll be buying from in the future. So I just want to give one example, because not all hope is lost. Like I said, beat the microbead. There's so much information on there, and I'll talk a bit more about that as well. But let's see. So when you go to their no list on their website, and this is really lovely, because I feel like a lot of the time it's really hard to find, you know, a brand's true mission statement that shows how they are living up to that shows evidence. So This is kind of similar to the Sephora list, the obvious ones. They have exclusions already, like carmine, which is actually beetle or bug pigment. Things like lanolin, which is from sheep, and beeswax. So they have things like that, which you would assume, okay, this is vegan, cool. But they also have a bunch of ingredients that they do not involve in their products, which is amazing. And they are transparent about not having silicone. Silicone is kind of, I would say, controversial in the microplastic discussion because it's a bit of a larger molecule, same with dimethicone, and doesn't necessarily shed in the same way that something like an acrylate, I believe, would. So that's why it's a little bit different. But still, I feel like, okay, let's just not do it before we know what it is instead of including it. And let's find out 10 years from now when there's nothing to do about it. So another exclusion that they have is insoluble plastic microbeads. So that means it's not soluble in water, in which it like doesn't disperse in water. Something else called styrene, which I'll also go into. Acrylates, yay, nylon, which you would expect is from clothes, but no, that is in makeup as well. And that nylon is also being found, and polyester is also being found in our blood. Non-RSPO palm oil. So, like I was saying before, a lot of these oils are being derived from palm oil and fossil fuels in the form of isobutane or polyisobutane. And yes, they don't have parabens. They don't have gluten, which is really cool because I didn't know that you could be allergic to that on your face. Talc, which is also a huge thing that is mined from the earth, and has a lot of kind of like labor discussions going around it, as well as mica. These people are being paid like next to nothing to mine this stuff for us to put on our faces in the United States. So yeah, let's talk about it a little bit more. They also use biodegradable packaging. They use single monomer plastic, and that's like post-consumer recycled plastic, because when you start to like mix these monomers together, they make it so much harder to recycle because now it's mixed instead of like single, and then it can't be like broken down into a solid thing. But yeah, I wanted to give an example from an actual brand on Sephora, in which labels themselves as clean, but is actually has questionable ingredients. So let's pull this up. One off the top of my head is Fenty Beauty Skin, or Fenty Skin, my apologies. So when you look at their lip product, it's called Plush Pudding, I believe. And one of their ingredients is literally polyethylene. Polyethylene, not in some form of monomer or copolymer, which is a mo means that the ingredient is a monomer chain. So it's like actually so small. It's just polystyrene. Is it polystyrene or polyethylene? Let's see. I'm pretty sure it's polyethylene. That is literally like flimsy plastic. Like, cling wrap, that's kind of an example of it. So let me just double check this. And I want to give another example of what I was talking about when these blends start to occur based on the brand itself. It makes it harder to kind of differentiate microplastics within it. So one example would be something in the copolymer form. But this is Fenty Beauty, the lip gloss. It doesn't label itself as clean. But when you go to ingredients, and I'm looking at this on the Sephora app, so it is right there. Polyethylene is one of the highest ingredients on it. And when you look at an ingredient list, the higher up it is in its order, the higher of a concentration it is. So the first ingredient, polybutane, that comes from fossil fuels. I think maybe most people know what butane is. It's a gas. So polybutane is poly. Means it's like a small form of it, basically. And yeah, that liquid is being put on our face. So what we're buying is basically fossil fuels. And then another ingredient, polyethylene, that is literally microplastic. This one doesn't have the clean beauty label, which I mean probably because of the polyethylene maybe. Yeah, it's really unfortunate because even when you are trying to become more conscious of your buying, there's just no difference. It's really sad. And it makes you feel suffocated. Like no matter what you do, you're going to be ingesting microplastics. So yeah, let's look at Fenty Beauty. Plush Puddin', intensive recovery lip mask with pomegranate sterols and vitamin E. So you're like, okay, has a clean label, has these nice fruit names, has a vitamin E, you know, like this must be like pretty natural and clean. Let's look at the ingredients. First ingredient, polybutane, comes from fossil fuels. Hydrogenated styrene, isoprene, copolymer. So this is an example of a more subtle form of microplastic because it's a copolymer blend, which means it's like super, super small. So it's not hard plastic, like I was saying. And when something is hydrogenated, it means like a liquid is hydrogen is being like blown into it so that it becomes solid at room temperature. So something like this would be naturally liquid. But like makeup is being manipulated so that it's like fits the type of makeup product that it's supposed to be. So yeah, styrene, when you just see styrene as styrene by itself, not as a copolymer, which is like a different type of molecular level, I believe. Styrene is plastic. And thermoplastic is kind of the category in which these fit in. It changes based on temperature and, like I said, creates a good film. I mean, like I said, it is effective in what it's supposed to do, but it is plastic. And these things are allowed because by the EU, they're soluble in water, which means that they're able to disperse in water. And that's the differentiation between the hard plastic, like I was saying, the plastic beads and face wash versus liquid microplastic. They differentiated it because of that. But you know what that means? That means microplastic is just being released in the water. Simple as that. Simple as that. Because it is able to go into water, it is not regulated. Which is just sad because then it's like, oh yeah, I'm recycling my takeout container that is plastic. I'm doing something good, but I'm washing my face and the EU says it's okay. So I'm just releasing all this microplastic into the water. So yeah, hydrogenated styrene, isoprene copolymer microplastic, polyethylene microplastic. Let's see, anything else on here? And I've started to like pick this up a bit, just in terms of researching on my own. But that's one example from Fenty. But let's look. Summer Fridays, Dream Lip Oil for moisturizing sheer coverage. But they have butylene, ethylene, styrene, copolymer. So that's when they blend those three things together: styrene, microplastic. Let's look at this. Tarte 28 Beauty Shine On Lip Jelly Hydrating Non-Sticky Lip Oil. This was so disappointing to me because I actually love this product. Ingredient: ethylene, propylene, styrene, copolymer, microplastic. Lip moisturizer by Malin and Goetz. This was my favorite lip product. Ethylene, propylene, styrene, copolymer. Really unfortunate. Another thing that I really liked from K Beauty was from Romand, one of their lip tints, acrylate copolymer. So that is just like more obvious that microplastic is in that, but only if you were to know what those qualifications are. My current lip mask that I use is from Tocobo. One of the ingredients, polyethylene, hydrogenated polyisobutane, that's from fossil fuels, butylene, ethylene, styrene copolymer, microplastic, dimethicone. Microplastic, but is somehow debated because of the shedding. Now, Romand and Tocobo don't necessarily like fully label themselves as clean beauty, but it's still quite frustrating that the things that I found on my own and which worked the best for me are now not trustworthy. Ilia In Frame Clear Eyebrow Gel, they really advertise themselves as a clean, conscious beauty brand. Their gel, $24 for something 0.15 ounces, 24 USD. Has dimethicone, copolymer, polyethylene, just straight up plastic. Just straight up plastic. You're telling me I'm paying for plastic within plastic for $24. You're kidding. Just use soap, my guys. Just use soap for soap brows. Ilia Eye Stylist Shadow Stick Long Lasting Cream Eyeshadow. What do they have? Let's see. Let's guess. Hydrogenated polyisobutane, fossil fuels, ethylene, propylene, styrene, copolymer, microplastic, butylene, ethylene, styrene, copolymer, microplastic. Oh, amazing. Ilia Balmy Gloss Tinted Lip Oil and their lipstick lip liner crayon. Let's see. Well, I didn't really notice something in this. I think I was trying to explore that a bit. But yeah, it's just really unfortunate. And it's hard not to really go down this rabbit hole of spiraling because then you just realize everything that you have and have used and touched and probably will touch just has this stuff. And it just makes me really sad. And I feel like maybe by talking about it would bring awareness to it. And I hope that that's sort of what I'm doing. So I hope that maybe from this, you're able to look at the few ingredients I was talking about, styrene, acrylates, excuse me, and the various forms of them, you're able to reflect a bit more about what you're buying and who you're buying from. But if you want to learn more, I would definitely like the easiest resource is Beat the Microbead and what they're doing with li liquid microplastics currently. They hope that the next regulation change will be about liquid microplastics for the EU standard. And yeah, if you're looking for new makeup products, I would definitely start at Mauve Beauty because that's the only brand, unfortunately and fortunately, that I have found that has a variety of colors, like just amazing color selection, which is so hard to find for a clean beauty brand because most of the time they're like crunchy granola, just a flush of color. Like, I want pigment. I want colors. I like to express myself that way, and I deserve to express myself that way. I demand to express myself in that way. But because of that, I need to find somebody I trust, basically. Like, we're putting our trust in the form of money and emotions to giving it to brands. So that's where I would start is probably Mob, MOB Beauty, and Beat the Microbead. That's the best way to start. So that's going to be it for my episode today. I hope, excuse me, my throat has gotten a bit dry. I hope that you've learned a bit about microplastic and beauty. There's so much more to get into about it. Like, it's just exhaustive. And I could be more specific about brands and the actual products, Or I could go into more skincare and sunscreen, and about the movements currently happening around that. But this is a bit more of an introduction to kind of like explain why I care about this and why you should care about this. And yeah, it's just a little introduction episode. So I hope you learned a little bit, and I hope you reflect and learn why all these things are so important to think about. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you so much for listening to my first episode of Makeup Microplastics with Marley. I'm Marley, and you're listening to this on Moss Radio. So exciting. So I hope you enjoyed this and tune in next time. Have a great day. Love you.